Good to be back in church. Appreciate you being here. And I know some folks are tired. It's okay to be tired. It happens. Amen. Some people say, oh, it is okay to be tired. Well, we better hope it is. Amen. What you got to do is just learn how to function while you're tired. Amen. And not let being tired or something control you and just tell your flesh, I'm going to go ahead and have a good service. I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do. I'm going to worship God. I'm going to praise God. I'm going to do my best to stay awake in the middle of service. Amen. And we're going to have a good, even if I'm tired, I'm not going to drag, because if anybody that was tired came dragging in and stayed dragging, then we'd probably have a dragging type of service. Amen. But anyway, Psalms chapter 119, I'm going to try to finish what I started this morning and read you a few verses. I read some of these this morning, and I'll look at a couple maybe different ones. Let's do this. We're in Psalms 119. Look in verse number 160. Read a couple verses here, and then we'll get started to you. Psalms chapter 119, and you know you could almost look at any verse in Psalms 119 and look and have a verse about the Word of God. But the Bible says this, Psalms 119, verse 160, "Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. Princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart standeth in awe of thy word." Verse 162, "I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil." Lord, I love you and I thank you for saving me. Lord, thank you for allowing us to be in church on a Sunday night. Lord, I'm thankful for that day you saved my soul. Lord, what a blessing it is to be saved. And I pray now you'd help me, Lord, as I stand behind this pulpit. Lord, I ask for your touch and your anointing. I pray that, Lord, you would speak to hearts, give your people something, be a blessing, help to them. And we do thank you for the good week you've given us. And Lord, I know when you're busy, you get tired. I'm sure there's folks tired in here tonight. But Lord, I pray in spite of that, that you'd meet with us and minister to hearts. And I pray you'd receive all the glory and honor here tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I was supposed to read verse 161 this morning, but I don't think I did. But the last part of that verse says, "My heart standeth in awe of thy word." Amen. Boy, I hope that's where we are tonight, in light of the word of God. And I started this morning, I preached about the word of God as a mirror, and the word of God as water, and then looked at that, at the laver and the tabernacle. And then the word of God is gold, the value of the word of God. I read this. John Bunyan said this about the word of God. He said, "Read the Bible and read it again, and do not despair of help to understand something of the will and mind of God, though you think they are fast locked up from you. Neither trouble yourself through your, though you may not have commentaries. Pray and read, and read and pray. From a little from God is better than a great deal from man." I thought that was pretty good. And then I read this quote. I didn't write it down, forgot to write it down, but George Mueller said this. He said he got saved when he was 13. Said for the first few years of his life, he largely neglected the Word of God. But then he said he began to read the Word of God, and I don't know exactly when, but when he was writing this down, he said, "Up to date, I've read the Bible over 100 times, and the change that's made in my life." And that's what the Word of God will do. It will change your life. But you read it 100 times and you read it with a sincere heart, with an open heart to allow God to speak to you, the Word of God will help you. I want to go, we're in Psalms 119. Let's look at a familiar verse. As we continue, just preach on the Word of God. The Bible says this, "There's a famine, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord." And I believe tonight, in our country, we are seeing that famine of hearing the words of the Lord. And I believe even in some of our churches, there's become a famine of hearing of the words of the Lord. There's many, they want to go to church, they want to do a little religious duty or ritual, and then they want to go out and live any way that they seem fit, the life they've always lived, and sort of getting a little stamp of approval on the life that they live, but they're not listening to the words of God. Psalms 119, verse 105, we see the word of God is as a lamp and light. The Bible says this, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." I probably don't have to spend very long convincing you that we live in a spiritual sense, a dark world. This world is full of darkness. The god of this world, the devil, has deceived the minds and the hearts and blinded the minds and the hearts of many. You know what we need in order to navigate the life that God has given us in this world? We need a lamp. We need a light. We live in a dark world. I'm going to say that probably several times because sometimes I think we fail to see just how spiritually dark this world is. This world is full of wickedness and it's full of darkness. Listen, you do not find light in the darkness. I mentioned this morning, we're to be a salt and we're to be light. And I mentioned that very thing in Sunday school this morning, the teen boys Sunday school. We did a simple little thing, and I knew half of them would have flashlights in their pocket because you never know on a Sunday morning when you're going to need a flashlight. Sure enough, half of them had flashlights. So we turned the lights off in the room, but, you know, it's still pretty light. But we just pretended it was dark. They're teenagers. It's easy, right? And I told them, I said, one of you turn your light on. And after they got done fighting, who got turned their light on first? We had one of them turn a light on. You know what it did? It lit up the room. And I said, a second one turn it on. And guess what? It was even brighter. And then Casey turned on his dim little almost dead light, and we didn't tell any difference. He was a dim Christian. He had hid his light under the bushel basket. Either that or he needs new batteries. Dad, can you buy him new batteries for his light, please? I know we try to laugh a little bit. You say, why would you do that? Well, they enjoyed that. They probably enjoyed that, them other 43 minutes of teaching that I did. But that's the world we live in. It's dark. You know what we're supposed to be? We're supposed to be light. We have the light of the Word of God. We do not have to live in darkness. We do not have to walk in darkness. You know the illustration. You know the idea. When it's dark, you're going to run into things. You're going to stub your toes. How many times you get up in a room that you've been in for years and years, you get up in the middle of the night, you're going to walk into something. Why? Because there's no light. We need the light of the Word of God in our life each and every day. In a spiritual sense, we're walking down a path, trusting the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. How's He going to direct it? Is He going to write letters and words in the sky? No, He's going to direct it through the Word of God. It's a lamp unto my feet and a light under my path, so I can see the direction that I'm going, so I can see what's coming down the road, I can see the pitfalls, I can see the dangers, I can see the direction that I should go. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 6, in verse 23, for the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. The Bible talks about the commandment being a lamp, and the law of God being a light. Boy, you hear the commands of God. You hear the law of God being spoken of today by many who claim to be saved in a negative sense. They want to claim, we're under grace. I'm not under the law. Now, to many, the commands of God have become grievous in their life. But the Bible says they're light and they're a lamp. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful for light. Are you not thankful for light? Are you not thankful for a lamp? I know we're spoiled today. We live in the day of electricity. All we got to do is flip a switch on. We've got light all the time, but think about when the Bible was written. You didn't go over to a wall and flip the light on. If you wanted light, there was effort. It was limited availability at times. And you know what they appreciated? They appreciated light when they had it. And I'm thankful for the light of the Word of God, in the commands of God, in the law of God. They're light for my path that I can walk and see how I ought to live for the glory of God. Many, though, they walk in darkness. And we're talking in a spiritual sense because they forsake or disobey the commands and the law of God. The Bible says in Psalms 19, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, doing what? Enlightening the eyes. Our eyes, our spiritual eyes will be enlightened by the Word of God. Boy, have you ever had God, through the Word of God, just give you such clear direction? Aren't you thankful for the Word of God, the light of the Word of God? It'll guide us in the right way. It'll keep us from falling. It'll keep us from being overtaken by darkness. It helps you clearly see the traps and the snares that are laid along life's paths. How many people walked headlong into a trap, into a snare, because they were not walking in the light of the Word of God? The Word of God will help us to see and understand the will of God. God's Word, it's a lamp, the Bible says, and it's light. And you know what it is? That lamp, that light of the Word of God, it is needful in our life. We need it. Without the light of the Word of God, we are wandering aimlessly through the dark. Man, you know what man needs? He needs a guide through his life. You and I are not smart enough to make it through life on our own. We need a light that will guide us. Our spiritual eyes, you know what they are? They're dim. Oh, I know we'd like to think that we're so spiritual we can see, but no, they're dim. You know what we are? We are easily deceived. We can easily be confused. We need the light of the Word of God. You ever been in the dark or maybe just close to dark and you're looking and you think you see this, you're making out this object and you think it's something and then you shine the light on it and it was nothing what you imagined that it was. Well, that happens in our spiritual life. Without the Word of God, we think we know, we think we see, we think we see clearly, and then we get the light of the Word of God shown on it and we realize we were all wrong. We had it all wrong. Because why? Because of a lack of light. Our spiritual eyes are dim. This world that we must travel through, it's a dark place. It's a dreary place. It's a place that is void of light, and we need the light of the Word of God. Young people, if I could encourage you, it is to always live your life guided by the light of God's Word. The next time you say, I don't know, or I can't see what to do, or I don't understand, listen, get in the Word of God and allow the Word of God to give you the light that you need. Wait for God to give you the light that you can travel by the light of the Word of God. Not only is God's Word, it's a lamp and it's light, it's needful. Let me say this, it's always available. The batteries never run out. The fuel never goes out. It's always available. Listen, every life that's here tonight, every person, there's a path of life that's represented. I could call your name and everybody here, myself included, there's a path of life that God wants us to travel. There's a path of life that we're on. I hope it's the one that God wants us to be on. But for every path of life that's represented here tonight, there's enough available light of the Word of God to light each and every one. This doesn't matter if you're young or if you're old. Single, married, rich or poor, it doesn't matter. There's enough light for every one of us here tonight. Not only is it always available, but it is all sufficient. There's never a step that you need to take without the light of the Word of God. It's clear. The light of the Word of God is clear. And it's sufficient for every area of life. Not only that, boy, I'm glad about this. It cannot be extinguished. Man has tried to put out the light of the Word of God. The devil, being used by the devil, they've tried to pervert it. But listen, it cannot. You know what the Word of God does? It burns as brightly today as it did in years go by. We talk about great men of God. You talk about the George Muellers and the John Bunyans and the Hudson Taylors and we could go right on, the William Careys and Jonathan Edwards and George Whitfields and the Billy Sundays and the D.L. Moody's, and the same light of the Word of God that shone for them on their paths. It's the same light that's available for you and I today to shine on our paths. It is you cannot quench the light of the Word of God. You know what the Word of God, it's a lamp and a light. I know it's for my feet and under my path. Listen, it's a light for our personal lives. You know, we all have a personal life. Did you know that? That's deep, isn't it? Just make sure you haven't fallen asleep yet. But the Bible will be a light for our personal life, for you personally. I know sometimes you hear people preaching and other people talking and you think it's for somebody else, but I'm telling you, it's for you personally. Yeah. Your personal life, as when you get up tomorrow, it'll be a light for your path if you'll let it. When you go into next week, next month, and next year, it'll be a light for your path. I don't care the age, what age you are, how long you've been saved, or how short you've been saved for your personal life. It will show you the will of God for your life. Anybody in here ever wonder what the will of God is in some area? We all do, but you know what will show it to us? The light of the Word of God. Listen, you young people, you wonder, who am I going to marry? Listen, just trust the light of the Word of God. It'll teach you how to live a godly, separated, sanctified life. It'll show you how to have a walk with God. It's good enough. It's a lamp for our personal life. Not only that, it's a lamp for our family life. It'll guide your family if you let it. It'll teach you, it'll show you how to have a godly marriage, a biblical marriage. You're not going to find that out in the world. Not a lot of people with a godly marriage, but the Bible, if we follow the light of the Word of God, it will show you how to have the right kind of marriage. That's going to take a lot of sacrifice, a lot of selflessness, a lot of humility, amen? But the Word of God will guide you. It will guide you and give you light how to train your children in the way that they should go. Now again, it will show you the Bible way, not the socially accepted way. I'm not even sure what that is anymore. But the Bible will give us light. Why? If we trust it. We need to be careful, though, that we just stick with the light of the Word of God. There's many things out there in the world that would like to steal our attention or steal our trust that get us to follow. Listen, if you're not careful, you can get swept up in the philosophies of this world, in your personal life and in your family life. If you're not careful, every day those of you that got to go out there in that world and you do business and you work out in that world, or you're connected to that world through internet and all that stuff, that world bombards you, and there's a philosophy and there's a culture and there's pressure, and it bombards you every single day, every single moment of every day that you're out there. It's all around you. It's just a tsunami of worldly philosophy and culture and belief that the devil and the world and the flesh are trying to get to influence our lives, our personal lives, our families' lives. And if you're not careful, it will begin to rub off on you. That is why we need the light of the Word of God. That's what I'm trying to say tonight. We need to just reject that worldly philosophy. But listen, if we're not careful, we let it seep into our minds, and then it gets down into our hearts, and we begin to think that something that is of the world is actually gospel truth. And what have we done? We've neglected the light of the Word of God. And I'm telling you, it'll help in our family life. It'll be a light in our family's life. How to have the proper hedges of protection in our home. How to keep the world out of our home. How to train our children up in the way that they should go according to the Word of God. It'll help us in the church. It'll help us in the church. I'm telling you, in every area of life, the Word of God can be light if we allow it. If we're not in the Bible, though, if we're not in it enough, we can get influenced by this world. It's amazing at times you hear people, good people, apparently good Christians, and they begin to say things, and you begin to think, that's not Bible. Well, where'd they get that? Well, they didn't get it from the Bible. They pick it up from the world. And they begin to think, oh, this sounds good. Yeah. No, you need to shine the light of the Word of God on the matter. Yeah. Let me just throw this in here. Listen, when you go, you got some crazy idea, or maybe you're looking for, I would be careful who I go to for help or confirmation. Can I give you an example? If I needed some advice about being a husband, I'm not going to Daniel Clare. Well, you laugh. Wait, what's he know about being a husband? I mean, he knows what the Bible says, and that's about it. Now, he might think he has it all figured out. One day he's going to get married and realize he didn't even begin to think anything. Do you understand what I'm saying? Bert Kiefer, if I needed some advice on how to train children, right? I'm not going to, try and see who I can pick on here, is not going to get offended. I'm not going to Josh. I'm not going to ask Josh how to raise children, train children. Why? What's he know about it? Now, he might think he knows everything because he's read a couple blogs about it and he's talked to some people about it and he's figured it all out. I'm not going to him. You understand? We need to be careful who we get our advice from, our counsel from. We ought to get it, number one, from the Word of God, or somebody who's experienced, somebody who's already walked the path, and we've seen the fruit of their efforts. But I'm saying the light of the Word of God in our thinking. We need to follow the light of the Word of God in our thinking. We need to be careful we don't allow this world to influence our thinking and our beliefs and our practices. Let me say this. Let's say you get up in the morning and you read your Bible for 10 minutes. Now, whether you do more or less, I don't know what you do. I'm sure some of you read your Bible every day. So for some, 10 minutes every day would be a great step forward. Let's say you take 10 minutes and read your Bible. You know, if you're a fast reader, you might get 2-3 chapters read in 10 minutes. And you do that every day. And probably 10, maybe 15 minutes a day, you could read your Bible through an entire year. Well, that'd be amazing. Let's say you do that every morning, 10 or 15 minutes. But then let's say that you're listening to the radio. You're listening to, you know, whatever podcast, and you read this online, and you read this social media, and you read this blog, and you put all that together and add that up at the end of the day. You spent 4 hours listening to the world stuff, and you spent 15 minutes in your Bible, and the next day you spend 15 more minutes in your Bible, another 4 hours consuming what the world has to give you, and then another day, another 15 minutes in your Bible, because you're a good Christian, you're spiritual, and then another 4 hours of the world. Well, by the end of the week, I've had 28 hours of the world, and I've got less than 2 hours in my Bible, which is going to influence me? Go ahead, say it. Some of you don't want to answer. The world's going to influence you. And you're reading your Bible through every year, and yet you're still being influenced by the world, because what you're consuming of the world is so much more than what you're consuming with the Word of God. Say, so, oh, no, it's Christian stuff. Yeah, like I said, like the world, the philosophy of the world. If it don't line up with the Bible, and all I'm saying, if you're going to consume 4 hours of worldly philosophy, you better balance that out with at least 4 hours of the Bible every day. But you know what you'd say? I don't have time for 4 hours of the Bible. I'm busy. It's amazing what we got time for. He said, my heart standeth in awe of thy word. And I wonder the last time you read something in the Bible and you were like, oh man, that is amazing. Man, I can't believe that. Man, you started reading and studying. You couldn't get enough of it. I wonder, I would go out on a limb here and say probably more recent than that, you've listened or read something worldly, and you're like, oh my goodness. And you got all consumed, and you just began an endless search for knowledge on this subject. But not the Word of God, but that worldly philosophy. That stuff in the world that really piques your... And I'm not even saying it's all sin. I'm just saying the world's... What the world has to offer, and boy, that's a whole wide variety of... That's a large buffet, what the world offers. When's the last time the Bible just so piqued your interest? I mean, every moment you got, you reading it, you were listening to it, you were studying it, you just couldn't get enough to figure out and get that, get some knowledge and get some wisdom and get some help from the Word of God. Where you began down the trail, next thing you knew, it was 3 hours later and you were still in the Word of God. I'm just telling you, we get out of balance. We consume all this from the world. We neglect the light of the Word of God. And let me say something to you as kindly as I can. It shows sometimes. Comes out of you sometimes. You hear people talk, you're like, I know what they're immersed in. I know it's got their attention. And I know what doesn't have their attention right now. The Word of God, it's a light. It needs to be a light. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Go to Hebrews chapter 5. We'll look at another example of the Word of God. Hebrews chapter number 5. We're going to see in the Word of God, the Bible is likened to food. I got some of you woke up on that point. You heard food, they thought it was time to eat. No, the Word of God likened to food. Hebrews chapter 5, verse number 12, the Bible says, For the time you ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat. He's not complimenting them there. In other words, you've been saved long enough, you've had enough opportunity, you've been taught enough, you should be a teacher, but you're still the student. Right? It's like you walk into a high school and there's a 28-year-old kid still in 10th grade. What happened? He should be teaching. He's still a student. Why is he still in 10th grade? Because the teacher had something out against him, right? No, he didn't learn what he was supposed to learn. That's what he's saying there. Verse 13, for everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. If you see that passage here, when he says he's a babe, he's not talking about a babe just in age. It's about your level of maturity. In other words, he should not be a babe. He's like a grown-up baby. And so the Bible shows us there that maturity is not an age. It's the responsibility, the learning that you take. He talks there in verse 13, they're unskillful. Verse 12, they haven't learned what they were supposed to learn. Listen, God doesn't just let you flunk test after test and keep advancing in God's school. You don't become a mature spiritual Christian by flunking, by not learning what you're supposed to learn. Now, listen, our government run and controlled schools, and that's exactly what they are. They might pass you even though you flunk. I mean, if you can barely sign your name, they're going to move you along. Why? Because they don't want to hold entire classes back, I guess. But God doesn't do that. He wants us to pass. He wants us to learn what we need to learn. If we don't learn it, he's going to teach us again. Even though we might be old as far as age, it doesn't mean we are matured. And he says in verse 14, strong meat belongeth to them who are full age, who even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. In other words, they've learned, they've grown in their discernment. They've exercised their senses. These are not physical, they're spiritual senses to be able to tell the difference between good and evil. They've grown, they've learned. The Bible is likened to food. In 1 Peter, go to 1 Peter, we're not far from there, 1 Peter chapter 2. It talks there about milk and meat, strong meat. Look in 1 Peter 2, the Bible says this in verse number 1, 1 Peter 2, verse 1, wherefore laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. So the Bible talks about the sincere milk of the word. You know who the sincere milk of the word is good for? It's good for those that are babes in Christ. He says, as newborn babes. It's just like in a physical way. What's a newborn baby want? They desire milk. Now listen, if that baby is 16 years old now and still only wants milk, there's a problem there. At some point, that child needs to grow off, begin to wean off the milk and begin to eat some solid food. If you drink milk your entire life, you're not going to be a very healthy person. There is a problem there. Plus, that's odd. Amen. Why would you want milk when you could have steak and potatoes and meatloaf and, you know, potato chips and all that kind of good stuff for you? So it's okay for babes to desire milk. Oh, everybody here that is saved, there's a time as a young Christian, you know what the milk of the Word of God did? It helped you to grow. And there were things, as you were growing, you had no idea about. There's probably things even preached that went right over your head. Oh, there was somebody there who got it. It just wasn't you because you were the baby. The steak was being served, but you were getting the milk. And you know what it was? It was plenty sufficient for you. But if you've been saved any length of time, you should have hopefully graduated off the milk into the strong meat of the Word of God. But boy, you see a lot of saved people and they gag on the meat of the Word of God. It's almost like they need somebody to grind it up for them, right? Remember grinding up fruit? I remember we used to have this old little fruit grinder for little kids. Grind up the fruit. Now, I guess you just buy it now. I don't know why we did it that way, but that's the way we did it. Now you need somebody to grind up. You need somebody to chew the food, spit out, and then feed it to you. Well, that's not where we should be if we've been saved very long. We should grow. So that's why, you know, when a preacher gets up to preach, there's a vast audience he's preaching to. You say, this isn't very vast, this is small. Yeah, but I mean, you got people from all, saved all length of time. Some are on milk. Some are on meat. Some are on milk and should be on meat. You understand what I'm saying? They're in different areas of their life. And so, but the Lord can meet all those needs. But the Word of God is likened to food. It's food to nourish us. You know, in the Old Testament, the Lord fed the children of Israel with manna. Manna is a great type of the Word of God. He told them they gathered it every morning. Now, I know they didn't gather it on the seventh morning, but he said they gathered it every morning. It's a good thing to do with your Bible, amen? You ought to be in it every morning. The Bible says this. They gathered it every morning, every man according to his eating. It's personal. You need to gather it. Nobody can gather it for you. And when the sun waxed hot, it melted. They had to get it early or it was gone. That's a good principle right there. You say, I can read my Bible before I go to bed at night. Sure you can. It's good to start your day with it. It's good to start your day with the Word of God. You say, why? Well, I believe there's a few reasons. I believe, number one, it shows the Lord He's number one in your life. You're not going to do anything else in your day until you take time for the Lord. Why? Because He matters. He's my Lord. He's my Master. He's number one in my life. So I wouldn't do anything before I spend time with Him. He's important. No matter whatever time you got to get up to make that happen, that's what you need to do. When you get up and you go about your life, you're number one in your life. When you don't take time for God in the morning. Also, when you take time for God in the morning, it'll help you through your day. I think that was in the devotional day about spending time in the morning. It usually goes, now it's not foolproof. I mean, you could still spend time in the morning with the Lord and still have some bad things and get in the flesh that day. But it's a whole lot better than starting without God. And getting halfway down through your day and trying to figure out how to fix this car wreck of a day that you're having because you didn't spend time with God. It helps you. It helps you. Plus, it's important, I believe, to crucify your flesh. Plus, if you only wait till nighttime to read your Bible, if something comes up and you don't read it, you don't have very many minutes left before that day ends. And you might miss a day because you only did it at night and something came up that you couldn't really control, maybe, and you didn't have time to do it. Whereas if you read it in the morning and there's an emergency or something comes up, you've got rest of the day to try to get that in before you go to bed at night. You read it whenever you want. I think the Bible teaches a principle that's good to read it. Start your day with the Lord in the morning. You say, well, I don't have enough time. Why don't you? Well, you got to make the time. You got to get up earlier than you would normally get up. You got to get up in time to have time with the Lord in the morning. So it's like that manna. He said, gather it of every man according to his eating. Not everybody ate the same amount. See, the adults ate more than the kids. When you're young in the Lord, you probably didn't start reading 10 pages a day. If you tried, you were discouraged pretty quick. You know, you might have started with a chapter, maybe a page, maybe 10 verses, maybe 5 verses. I don't know, maybe 2. Some of these kids, some of our kids, we start them off, they'd read a verse a day, a verse or two a day. They're a little kid. It's a good start. Now, if they're 16 and 18 reading a verse or two a day, it's probably not very good. You know, just as physically, you ate more now than you did when you were a little kid, right? As you grow, what happens? Your appetite grows. As you grow spiritually, your appetite. If you're reading the same you were reading 5, 10 years ago, I would just ask you, are you growing? Is your appetite growing? It's okay to start with a little bit, but man, your appetite for the Word of God should grow. According, every man according to his eating. In 1 Corinthians, Paul says this, I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. And he says this, I fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it. In other words, again, they should have been able to handle the meat, but they weren't, so he had to give them milk. Why? He says, for ye are yet carnal. I don't want to be carnal. And then the Bible is also likened to honey in Psalms 119, 103. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. And then go to Jeremiah chapter 23. Let me give you this. Jeremiah chapter number 23, preaching on the Word of God. It's like a light. It's likened to food, amen, milk and meat in our life. Jeremiah chapter number 23. The Bible says this familiar verse, Jeremiah 23, verse number 29. The Bible says, is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. Here it's likened to two things, a fire and a hammer. Boy, the fire of the Word of God. What's a fire do? It warms. Let me read you this verse. I didn't write it down, but I can find it quick. But this is in Psalms chapter number 39. The Bible says this: my heart was hot within me while I was musing, the fire burned. Then spake I with my tongue. What's the fire do? It burns. It warms our hearts. How many times does our heart grow cold? We can admit that. I mean, we'd be dishonest not to. The Bible says, because the love of many have waxed cold, iniquity, what? It abounds. What do we need to do? We need to get in the Word of God. Let the fire of God's Word thaw out our cold heart. You ever go outside when it's really cold? You know, we lived in upstate New York for 8 years. Boy, it'd get cold up there in snow. I remember going out. We had a pond. We'd ice skate on the pond. It was cold unless you were ice skating. Then it wasn't cold. Amen. But I remember going, I'd be 0 degrees. I remember riding snowmobile. It'd be -5, -10. Just thinking you're in your right mind. And you come inside and, man, you're cold. I mean, you hardly move your fingers. You can't feel your toes. And you go up there to the wood stove and you put your, got things fired up and going, and you put your hands, your feet up by a wood stove, and does that warm you instantly? Mm-mm. Takes a little bit of time. I read a chapter. I don't know what happened. Takes a little bit of time. If you wait there a few minutes, a little bit, then there's usually a little bit of a tingling, right? And you slowly begin to feel that warmth come back. But if you leave that stove, you're not going to get that warmth back as quick. The Word of God is like a fire to warm our cold hearts. We get lukewarm, even cold at times. When we do, we need to get in the Word of God. Listen, can I just say this? And I encourage you to be faithful, church. It's good. I know it's not in style nowadays. A lot of people think once a week, twice a week is good. You ought to be faithful, church. Every time the door's open, you ought to be there. That's what the Bible teaches. I still believe it teaches that. You can be faithful, church, and still get cold. You get backslid, come to church every service, singing, raising your hand, come in the altar, you get backslid. You know what you need? You need the fire of the Word of God. Not only that, it consumes. Not only does fire warm, it consumes. It'll burn away the dross. You know what we've all got? We've all got dross in our life. That's like scum. You ever go to a pond? It's just, the top is like thick with scum. That's how our lives get. They get full of that dross. We need that fire to consume it. That's the Word of God. But we live, listen, now do we live in a dark world? This world is full of sin. It'll affect your heart. You need to be in the Word of God, that God keep your heart on fire for Him. We so quickly get cold. We so quickly just go through the motions. We need our heart stirred. You say, well, I know once a year at revival meeting. No, you need it stirred all the time. It needs to be set afire anew. We sing that song, set my soul afire, Lord. Doesn't mean that fire needs rekindled and stirred up in our life so we get some zeal and fervency about the things of God. We once did, and we lost it, and we need it stirred. We'll do it. The Word of God is like a fire. That's what we preach. We're not preaching man's wisdom. We're preaching the Word of God. Try to stir our hearts. And then it says it's like a hammer. What's it do? It breaketh that rock, that hard ground, that heart that's gotten hard. Not only that, but in Ephesians 6, or Hebrews 4, the Bible says this, it's like unto a sword. It says the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Bible says, Ephesians 6:17, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Boy, that sword, you know what it does? It'll pierce us at times. A discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Not only that, but when in Ephesians 6, when you go through the armor of God, the only offensive piece of armor or weapon we have is the sword of the Spirit. This is our sword for battle. I asked you this morning, do you know the Word of God? You ought to know the sword. You ought to know the Bible. You ought to be able to take the Bible and do battle for the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, what do you mean by that? When somebody questions, why do you go to church all the time? Why do you do this? Why don't you do that? Why do you go there? Why won't you go there? Why don't you wear that? Why won't you talk like that? You ought to be able to take the Bible and show them what the Bible says. Amen. Why don't you believe you can lose your salvation? Why don't you believe baptism saves you? You ought to be able to take the sword of the Spirit and show and do battle. Remember, Gideon's son feared to draw his sword. He wasn't ready to use it. I firmly believe one of our responsibilities is train these young people to use the sword of the Word of God. Amen. We're not looking to use your intellect. We need to use the sword of the Word of God. It's the only weapon that we have. And then let me give you this. The Word of God is seed. The Bible says this in 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Listen, if you're born again in here tonight, and I hope that you are, you know how you are? By the seed, the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. Man, thank God for the Word of God that got planted down in our hearts and the conviction of the Holy Ghost. Man, God saved us through the Word of God. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The Bible says, ye must be born again. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. This Bible shows us that we were sinners, we were lost, we were going to hell. We had no hope. We were without Christ in this world. Christ loved us and died on the cross to pay the price for our sins. We got that from the Word of God. That gospel was preached to us. We believed it and we got saved. Thank God. But then also we see in the Gospels, that seed is the Word of God and the parable of the sower. You know what we're supposed to do? We're supposed to sow the seed. But many times, as we see in the book of Haggai, the seed is still in the barn. The seed doesn't do any good in the barn. There's no harvest if the seed is left in the barn. We need to get the seed out of the barn. Listen, the Word of God. I'm thankful for the Word of God. Go back to Psalms 119. Psalms 119. If anything, I hope I just whet your appetite for the Word of God. I want to read two verses and I'll close. Psalms 119, verse number 97. The Bible says this, Psalms 119, verse number 97. Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. You know, I wonder if you're struggling or if you feel like maybe the world has influenced you, I wonder if you if you took that verse and you began to meditate on the Word of God throughout the day, yeah. I wonder if it would make a difference in your life. Now I want to read that verse 161. I started with it. The second part of that verse, he says, but my heart standeth in awe of thy word. You know, the Word of God is readily available to us. We hear it preached. Many times we read. I think sometimes we lose the wonder of the Word of God. When's the last time your heart just stood in awe of God's Word? Written over such a long period by so many different authors as they were moved by the Spirit of God. It's perfect. It's complete. Everything we need is in there. And how many times have we been reading the Bible, just going through our Bible reading, and exactly what you needed that day was right there? God knew that hundreds and thousands of years ago. I stand in awe. I think sometimes we've just lost a little bit of the wonder of the Word of God. Amen. We ought to love it. We ought to meditate on it. We ought to allow it to influence our lives more than anything else. We should be true Bible believers, not just in word, but in deed, where it is our final authority in all matters, faith and practice. Amen. Let's pray.